Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you. It's Wednesday, September the 23rd. Welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Burkina Faso's coup leaders promise to hand power back to a civilian administration. The breakthrough came after Marathon ECOWAS talks between regional leaders in Nigeria.
We have demanded the presidential guard to disarm, and we have demanded the other units of the army not to use force in order to avoid loss of human lives.
That was the president of the ECOWAS Commission, Kadre Desiré Ouedraogo. And in an exclusive interview with Deutsche Welle, we also hear from the coup leader himself, General Gilbert Diendéré.
We have shown them the commitment to discuss and foster peace in Burkina Faso, and we are ready to accept all offers on the table, of course with the support of ECOWAS.
And we also take you to Uganda, where the opposition coalition Democratic Alliance is trying to decide between two presidential hopefuls. Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
In Burkina Faso, coup leaders from the Presidential Guard have agreed to return to their barracks and said they would restore the deposed president, Michel Kafando, to power. They have signed a deal with the army that apparently defuses a tense standoff sparked by last week's coup. The breakthrough came late on Tuesday after marathon talks with regional leaders in Nigeria's capital, Abuja. Shortly before we went on the air, I asked our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang, what more he could tell us about the deal.
Much pressure has been mounted on these soldiers who kind of removed the president or the interim president of Burkina Faso, talking of Mr. Michel Kafando. Also, the ECOWAS leaders are saying they want to stick seriously to the charters of ECOWAS that hinder or prohibit coup plotting. Therefore, they want a government and constitutional order reinstated in that country.
The heads of state from Senegal, Togo, Benin and Nigeria are expected in Ouagadougou today. Do you know if they've arrived yet?
Well, we don't know whether they've arrived yet, but the president of the ECOWAS Commission, Kadri Ouedraogo, is saying that the movement has to be immediately. And, of course, it's led by the Nigerian president, Muhammadu Buhari, and they want to ensure that their decision, their communique that the military must hand over is done with some kind of military dispatch, and that is why they have to move, and the movement is immediately. But what we don't know is whether they've landed in Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso.
So would they be taking part in some sort of ceremony at which power would be handed back to a civilian administration? Is that the sort of thing that is being planned?
Yes, it is planned that as soon as they go there, it's business. And theirs is to ensure that there is a kind of an event, a kind of a ceremony where the power will be handed over to the interim president. And it's also expected, as they have warned and advised, that there should be no exchange of fire either between the presidential guards or the military in Burkina Faso, so that it will be rancor-free. They want to do that thing, which is called the carrot and stick approach. Carrot and stick negotiation. But when the stick comes in, it means there are sanctions if the military is still insistent.
Is there going to be an amnesty for the coup leaders?
Well, there are calls that there should be a kind of amnesty for the coup plotters. But from feelers, some people are saying people who have overthrown a government have committed a crime, they should face the law. But again, there is the other side that is calling for a softly approach, Why would you want to heighten tension and, of course, with some consequences here and there, when indeed in West Africa there are already some big problems being handled? Mali is still there. You still have some portions of Senegal that is being occupied by some rebels. The Boko Haram is spreading. Nigeria, it's there in Niger and even Cameroon. Also, they're saying there is enough problems on ground. Therefore, it's better to adopt the peaceful means by negotiations.
And there's no word as to what is likely to happen to the coup leader, General Diendéré.
Well, I think what will happen is, first, if he is adamant, ECOWAS leaders will suspend the country first from ECOWAS activities. The economy will be hit by way of sanctions. And, of course, when he's still adamant, pressure will be brought to bear by way of, they could suggest some military intervention, remove him from power and install constitutional order.
Ben Chemang in Abuja. Let's go back a bit. On Monday, a group of army commanders arrived in the capital of Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou, in tanks to try and unseat General Diendéré and the Presidential Guard Regiment, the RSP. Now, the RSP offered no resistance to the army, which then issued an ultimatum to the coup leaders, giving them until 10 a.m. local time on Tuesday to leave State House. Diendéré released interim president Michel Kafando and Prime Minister Isaac Seda. In this interview with Deutsche Welle, Fridtjof Kwenum asked General Diendéré if he was still leader of the country. The interview was conducted in French. We read you a translation of the questions and answers here in the studio.
Yes, we are waiting for the resolutions of the ECOWAS meeting anytime from now, and we are ready to listen to them.
General Diendéré, what's your take on the ultimatum given by the National Army?
We are ready to talk to everyone. We are waiting for ECOWAS, waiting for their feedback.
The National Army has already arrived in the capital, Ouagadougou. Are you really ready to fight?
No, we don't want to fight. It's not the solution. We don't think that can help at all. We are going to start a dialogue and discuss. I think it's good to use that channel to avoid conflict. First of all, we are brothers. It's of no one's interest to fight.
You have talked about negotiating. Who are you negotiating with?
Yes, the Army Chief of Staff, together with other parties in the country.
And what's your stand about the crisis in Burkina Faso?
We have shown them the commitment to discuss and foster peace in Burkina Faso, and we are ready to accept all offers on the table, of course, with the support of ECOWAS.
General Diendéré, some say your actions are confusing and that you are the right-hand man of Blaise Compaoré. What would you tell them?
No, nous ne sommes le bras armé de personne.
We are not taking sides. We have links with some people of the former government, just as we have links with people from the former opposition. But our job has nothing to do with what you are saying. It is true that putting us on a side brought the problems. When you look at what is happening across Africa, this is the same problem.
What do you think, especially on the position of the National Council for Democracy, CND?
On the level of the National Council for Democracy, we think it's better to hand over to the one who is the choice of civilians. We have no intentions to hold power. We are waiting for practical modalities so we can hand over power and go back to the barracks.
Till now, which authority do you think can manage the transition till the end?
It isn't up to me to decide on who is to take over. Negotiations are underway with ECOWAS. Politics will take care of that.
And that was Burkina Faso's coup leader, General Gilbert Diendéré. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany.
News, analysis and feature reports, all that here on Africa Link.
In Uganda, the opposition coalition Democratic Alliance is scrambling to choose a party leader who will challenge President Yoweri Museveni in the upcoming elections. Museveni has been at the helm for 29 years. One possible candidate is Kizza Besigye. He has already run for the presidency unsuccessfully three times. He's facing stiff competition from former Prime Minister and one-time ally of Museveni, Amama Mbabazi. Alex Jitter reports from Kampala.
Ugandans go to polls early next year. The current president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, has been in power for 29 years and has successfully won all past elections. Now the opposition says uniting is the only way to challenge Museveni. Under the umbrella, the Democratic Alliance, they have agreed to field one candidate to challenge Museveni. However, as nomination draws closer, the opposition is still undecided on who the best candidate should be. For 2 weeks now, they have been in closed-door meetings trying to choose who to represent them in an election viewed as very critical and decisive for the country. Frontrunners include Kizza Besigye of the Opposition Forum for Democratic Change Party and the all-powerful former Prime Minister in the Museveni government, Amama Mbabazi. Amama Mbabazi announced his candidature in June after falling out with President Museveni.
I come before you today to tell you that I'll be seeking your vote for president in the 2016 presidential elections. The coming election is about the future, about making Uganda work for everyone. It is about reinvigorating our country and making it fit for the 21st century and beyond.
Mbabazi, who was a close ally to President Museveni, was also the Secretary General of the ruling party, the National Resistance Movement. He has now turned out to be a critic of the very government he served for 29 years.
As a people, we must choose between achieving success and true prosperity in the new global economy or nursing a tired nation. Yesterday's story. You'll be making a choice for your families, for your children, and the generations to come.
But President Museveni throws back the blame on Mbabazi.
Right, Honourable Mbabazi has been at the center of our system all these years. Now, the weaknesses which are there, I am the one who is always criticizing those weaknesses. These are weaknesses that should be supervised by the Prime Minister and other leaders.
Mbabazi's move to vie for presidency has received different public opinion.
He knows what he wants, and he knows how to go there. If you count the number of words Mbabazi has spoken in the media in the last 2 years, you cannot make 100 words. But you know that less than 100 words have caused arrests, have caused panics. And I think that is the politician. Very smart, and you can't therefore discount him.
Colonel Kizza Besigye has had the history of being in the opposition for the last 15 years, and he knows what it means to be in the opposition. Amama Mbabazi has only been there for less than 3-4 months. He does not know what it means to be in the opposition yet. He's yet to test it.
Four candidates registered to represent the Democratic Alliance, and one of them was also Museveni's vice president, Gilbert Bukenya. Two have since stepped down, leaving the battle to Forum for Democratic Change's Kizza Besigye and Mbabazi. The two have been meeting for 4 days, but are yet to decide.
Alex Jitta in Kampala. Still to come, a new opinion poll in Tanzania says that the opposition's chances of winning the upcoming elections are improving.
Behind the headlines.
In Ghana, a recent film by investigative journalist Anas Eremo Anas has caused an uproar. It contains video of 22 lower court judges taking bribes in connection with the cases they were presiding over. In some instances, the judges freed criminals in exchange for bribes. The journalist who made the film, and whose face is obscured on camera, wants to screen the film in public. The judges in the film are seeking a court injunction to try and stop him. Isaac Kelechi reports.
The accused judges have vowed to prevent a public screening of videos showing them taking bribes. They have gone to court to challenge disciplinary actions against them. Whereas the public demands that the videos be screened, the implicated judges argue that the act is prejudicial to their case. Egbert Febel is a lawyer for some of these judges and judicial staff.
There are sensibilities and ethical moral considerations. There are children in the video. Are you going to show a child to the world because one of his or her parents, you know, was engaged in a discussion with somebody. We are talking about permanent records.
The implicated judges are further upset with the manner in which they were caught. They claim journalist Anas Arimayawa Nas induced and coerced them. But a law lecturer, Godwin Jah, doesn't find fault with Anas' style.
There's nothing wrong with Anas' style of journalism. What they call investigative journalism is a brand of journalism that allows people to uncover things that generally you wouldn't find in the public domain. So they need to conduct their affairs in a way that sometimes will border on issues that generally will look like wrong, illegal, immoral.
Despite the court case, preparations are progressing for the premiering in Ghana's capital. Tickets for the event have already been sold out.
One of the most sacrosanct organs of state, hunted with heartaches, abuse, and impunity. Ghana in the eyes of God, an Anas Arimayawa Nas undercover investigative film. 2 years in the making, coming soon.
That's excerpts of the trailer of the video, which has been playing on radio stations in Accra. The screening will last 2 days, with final viewing on Wednesday, September 23, 2015, and the ordinary Ghanaian wants to see the video and nothing else.
I think it should be shown, because this would let everybody get to know what really is going on in our judiciary.
It needs to be shown to the people, so that the people can judge it. If we think this judge is not, I've not done anything wrong, we the people will say it. If it is proper, we the people will say it.
It will help correct things in Ghana, because I feel things are going on bad in the society that we have to check.
The court has given the green light for the videos to premiere. On the other hand, the Chief Justice is resolute in getting the corruption allegations investigated and offending judges prosecuted. She has appointed an appeals court judge to hear the cases relating to the scandal.
The moment demands blunt assertions. We would like to assure the good people of Ghana and the international community that we will continue to perform and strengthen our constitutional rule in accordance with the well-known principles of judicial integrity.
Ghanaians are eagerly watching the leadership of the judiciary to bring a closure to this sad chapter in Ghana's struggle against corruption.
Isaac Kelechi reporting from Accra. In Tanzania, a new opinion poll is indicating that opposition parties could be poised to make historic gains in the upcoming elections. The ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi, the CCM, has been dominating the political stage since 1977, when the two main parties, the Tanganyika African National Union, TANU, and the Afro-Shirazi Party, ASP, merged. In the last elections, the CCM won nearly 85% of all 239 constituencies. Aidan Ayokozi, executive director of Twaweza, the organisation that conducted the polls, has been sharing the results with my colleague Happiness Matanji.
We asked them a series of questions in terms of which party would they vote for, councillor or a parliamentarian, a member of parliament or president, and at all three levels of government, the ruling party CCM was leading in the polls that we did when we asked the questions at the end of August, followed by Chadema. But what is also interesting is when you look, because as we published the trends between 2012 and 2015, between 2012 and 2013, CCM lost quite a bit of support when you look at the numbers, but then it has been regained when we look at 2015 opinion poll figures. And the final question we asked was, if the election were to be held today, who would be your choice for president? And we did not prompt them with any names of presidents. And our result there shows that Dr. John Magufuli was leading the opinion polls, 65%, followed by Edward Lowassa of Chadema at 25%. 7% did not know or refused to answer that question, and 3% chose other names.
If you look at the ongoing campaigns, there is a stiff competition, especially between the CCM and Chadema and Okawa. But then how do you compare your findings and this kind of competition we are having now?
when we look at the campaign language, the posters, and of course the crowds of people who appear at the campaign rallies, you can see that there seems to be very large numbers attending both UKAWA rallies as there are attending the rallies for the ruling party CCM. But I don't know about everybody else, but my eyes are very weak in terms of being able to very quickly count the number of people who are attending those. But even if we could be very accurate at counting, it is hard to know their intent in terms of the decisions they're going to make about the choice that we put into the ballot box. So it's difficult to know without asking them directly, what are your intentions? If the election was held today, who would you choose? So that's what we did. And these are the results. So the results might be contrary to expectation that they should have ought to have been much closer. But recall that many, 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 many Tanzanians actually don't attend rallies. Many of them get their information from the radio. So in terms of looking, observing without doing so with a deliberative methodology, can give you an impression that it is very stiff competition. But we haven't asked those who are not there at the rallies.
You say usually when getting closer to election, people's opinion changes a lot. Now, what is your opinion on with regard to your findings?
My opinion is this. I am completely convinced of the methodology, the process that led to these findings. But remember, it is a snapshot of a particular date and time. Basically, about 2 weeks towards the end of August is when we asked the specific question about who they might vote for, party-wise and in terms of presidential. But we have also added the results of previous surveys, which show essentially that apart from the changing prioritization in terms of the issues, I think there isn't a huge shock in terms of, for example, affinity or affiliation with political party. That hasn't changed hugely differently. On the basis of that, I am confident that these results reflect to a large extent the views and the opinions of Tanzanians as at the time when we asked. But, like I said, it's going to be 2 months since we conducted the poll when the elections will happen. So it will be very interesting to see how close or how far apart the actual results are from the opinions that we gathered from the people.
That was Aidan Ayokozie, Executive Director of Twaweza in Tanzania.
Opinion.
And in opinion this week, we go back to our top story, Burkina Faso. We heard from the leader of the military coup who deposed interim president Michel Kafando and Prime Minister Isaac Zida. Now, General Gilbert Diendéré told us he is ready to step down and hand power back to a civilian government. Do you think he will keep his word? Let us know your thoughts in an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or in a text message to country code 49 160 957 59510.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/AfricaLinkPodcast.
And before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. Burkina Faso's military coup leader, General Gilbert Diendéré, has told Deutsche Welle he is ready to step down and hand power back to a civilian government. Uganda's opposition coalition, the Democratic Alliance, is scrambling to choose a party leader who will challenge President Yoweri Museveni in the upcoming elections. And we've also been hearing how a new opinion poll in Tanzania is giving fresh hope to the opposition as elections approach. Let me give you the address for all your letters. It's Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Remember, you can also send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. I do hope you'll be able to join us again at the same time tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.
Thank you.